Do you feel bad for gamblers who lose money on games because they didn't cover?
And how bad has it got for Ryan Day that we talk about whether he'd rather be on the road in the playoffs to avoid the psychotic booing fans?
It's the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
You sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Hey, Tone, guess what?
What's up?
Tomorrow afternoon, midday, Ken Carmen, the Minnesota Golden Gophers taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes, number one against number 13 for the Big Ten Championship. Your thoughts?
Where's it at?
Indianapolis, but of course.
Oh, it's the Big Ten Championship game.
Yeah. And college football. Wow. NCAA college football.
Wow. And which team should benefit from such tepid weather conditions, considering it's indoors?
I am actually 2-2 lifetime against Ohio State. I've lost five games so far. Technically six overall when I started my dynasty with Wyoming. I lost to Oregon, Ohio State twice, Michigan once in the little brown jug, and Notre Dame.
And will you be rushing the field afterwards? Will you be planting a flag?
Oh, I lost to Utah in the Rose Bowl. There will be no flag planting.
Oh, you told your team.
I told them.
We are above
that. I said, listen to you fake video game guys.
I did think about this, and then we have a question. Owen had an interesting gambling question that I definitely want to get to about last night.
I'm a big gambler, so.
But what is more humiliating to the other team? Not necessarily the fans, although maybe the fans, because I was thinking about this. If Michigan would have won the game and then almost forcibly come over to shake your hand, like that, as opposed,
what?
Kind of like the guy in the airplane. Yes.
So, more beer.
So, like winning with class. What rubs it in more for some people? Winning with so much class that they're almost overdoing it with class.
Overly classy.
Like almost they're bringing gifts. Here are Yuletide greetings, or planting the flag, which everybody's going to do now. And, you know, we've seen, Michigan's been involved. It's happened.
You know what I would do?
It happened in the Big House to them. Texas did it. Did Washington do it? Who else did
it
to Michigan this year?
You know what I'm going to do with my Minnesota Golden Gophers?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to walk into my bathroom, which is my locker room, pregame. And I'm going to take in a chair. I'm going to put it in the corner of the room. And I'm going to go, you have a choice. You're either the guy in the chair or you're the guy on the bed. Which one are you going to be today? And then I walk out.
And they have to make the choice.
And then they have to make
the
choice.
Wow. What would you say?
It's all fun and games until I do that in front of a real group of real people, and then I'm in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that'd be an effective pregame speech, though, if you think about it. You just take a chair and put it in the corner of the room, and you ask them, which one are you going to be?
You know, for the Michigan guys, and I've seen a lot of national people say this, Ohio State, you had 3 hours to fight. They did fight. They lost.
Yeah.
They played a football game.
Yeah.
That's what they did. If it's truly about fighting.
I don't think it was bad effort.
But if that's what people want to see is a actual fight, and there was one Michigan dude that was just cleaning house. He was, that's the guy you didn't want to fight. Like I watched that one dude and he was throwing guys around. You said,
yeah,
you saw the one.
That one Ohio State Christian, get what his name is, he was getting ragdolled.
But like if Jack Sawyer is saying, okay, let's fight. Well, then if you're a Michigan player, do you not have to fight? Because if that's what we're doing here, which is not really what we're doing.
It's fighting time at the OK Corral.
That's the thing. I feel like Michigan wanted no consequences for their actions. And if you want no consequences for your actions, then you're just the annoying kid who starts a fight and then runs away.
You know, I've been pretty pro flag planting. I told you this story. I went to high school with a guy. Well, actually, he didn't go to the same high school. I knew him from high school. His name was Nick, and he played at Michigan State. And he was actually one of the guys responsible for the first flag planting incident I ever saw. See, people were like, oh, Baker did it first. Baker actually did not do it first.
No.
I think this was 2005, and I said to you, because I got the years mixed up, it wasn't D'Antonio, it was John L. Smith got mad because they went to Notre Dame, and they beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and that was back when they had a grass field, and they actually got the flag to stick, And John L. Smith, not a very happy camper publicly. But I remember I asked Tommy Bowden about this with Baker because I was hosting CBS Sports Radio. And Tommy Bowden was like, honestly, he goes, I would be public and say that that's not what we do here. And that's not our program. And we've talked to the guys, and those things like that aren't going to happen again. And he said, I'd go right in the room and I'd high five him. I'd high five him, and then I'd say, hey, I got it. I'm not going to throw you under the bus.
But I can't have your
but
back.
But I can't. Yeah. I cannot condone this publicly.
I love that honesty.
He was so honest.
I wish we had that audio.
I mean, that's back when we were owned by the old company, so yeah. I don't even know if it's even in the
that's incredible.
System anymore.
I'll call Les and see if he has it in his
head. Yeah, Tommy Bowden said that to me.
And now here's the thing. They're gonna outlaw the flag planting stuff, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But now if you're Ohio State and you win next year, aren't you flag planting? Don't you have to match it now? Because it was such a deal this year.
Well, you see, the thing is if I was a Michigan fan, I would come right back at him and say, you tore down the Go Blue banner in 1973, and we finally got you back.
Yeah, there's always going to be a, you know, who started it? What do you do?
That's
how
what
do
I
you
say.
Receive it? How are you supposed to? I mean, nobody is going to just allow it at home. Now, coaches intervene at times. That's why the Ryan Day part of this was so crazy that he just was. Well, we talked about that anyway.
Yeah.
Owen, you had an interesting note that I'd forgot about, that you even said before the game yesterday that the Cleveland Browns were they 6-point dogs?
It ended up yesterday it was 6. Most people had 5.5, but
okay,
it was 6, so they're down 2, right? Under 2 minutes, Jameis throws a pick 6. And it moves to 9. It's now a 9-point game. You're not covered. If you've bet on the Cleveland Browns to cover that 5.5 or 6, you're not going to win your money, right? So yeah. You're down in the dumps.
Teasers are good.
And then all of a sudden, they come back with 3 timeouts. They get the ball again. They take an unfortunate timeout. But Jameis throws a long one into the end zone to Woods, right, who gets held, pass interference, ball on the 1, and you have to be thinking, oh, I'm getting my money back again.
At least you're getting your money
back. Yes, I'm getting my money back, and then all of a sudden, there's the 3rd pick right in the end zone.
Oh, man, that is brutal.
Yeah. I felt bad for gamblers, and I don't know why, because it's not that I condone or don't condone. I don't do that. I don't sports gamble, and it's probably because I know I would lose all of my money, all of my worldly possessions, my children would be repoed. But I felt so bad for those people who thought that they had a chance. Because you have to go, well, at least it's a pick 6 and we got a chance to get the ball back and go one more time and get another score and knock it down, you know?
Yeah.
Because it did feel like, hey, maybe they're going to make this a 2-point game again. And then who knows with an onside or whatever. I mean, the new onside rule, you're probably not getting it. But
always.
I felt bad.
I've never felt bad.
Well, let me ask you, they had a camera on the dude.
I took pity on those losers.
They had a camera on the dude. He was in Vegas, the super contest or whatever, yeah. Which is the big, I think, what the winner gets millions of dollars.
Yes.
And this guy is still alive, and they got a camera on him because now they're starting to get the theater truly involved with the gamblers that are involved in this. And it was the Cowboys Commanders game. Where did Jaden Daniels throw another Hail Mary? It was a touchdown. They just needed the extra point to then get it into overtime.
2 weeks ago.
So they had the camera on the guy once they scored the touchdown, and he was going nuts, and then he reminded everybody, hey, we gotta make the extra point.
Yeah.
We gotta make the extra point. Like let's make sure that this happens. And then they miss the extra point, and they show the level of devastation because there's nothing worse. First of all, it's bad when you lose. It's really bad when you're given a second hope, a second life. And then you lose again. That is really more crippling than anything. To think that you're back in it and then to lose on something stupid like an extra point. So I had sympathy. I watched him and I'm like, all right, I don't know this guy. And I saw how invested he was. And I saw how excited he and his buddies were. And then I saw him miserable again. It does, if you have a little bit of a storyline about it, it does kind of give you some capacity to show remorse.
I don't know. I just feel bad for... I feel worse for just regular fans who are upset. I don't feel Gambling's gambling. I'm not moved by gambling.
Yeah, that's where the other part of me goes, hey, don't feel bad. If they didn't have the money to lose anyway, true. They shouldn't have been doing
and
it.
And obviously.
And if they did have the money to lose, screw them because I'm not in that position.
Well, what do you say to people? And also half the side is also on the other side of that. Yeah. Now they're winning.
Right.
Well, so are you feeling good about them?
Yeah, but what do you say to people who are like, well, it's a disease and all that other stuff? Because, like, to me, I don't know, like, I got vices. Obviously, we all have vices.
I eat Cheetos for breakfast. Come on.
We all have vices. Gambling has just never been that for me. It's never been that way. I've never been, and honestly, as I've just gotten older, like, I respect everybody's rights to gamble. I'm just not, I've never done
it. Well, so here's what's interesting. Really. When you bring up addiction, we have buddies that drink, and we're like, he's been known to go a little too far. He's been known to ruin a good time for everybody. Let's kind of steer clear.
He's been known to pee in the sink. He's been known
to have wet the bed a little bit too much at the age of 43.
I had a buddy who wet the bed and his girlfriend got out of the bed, I'm not kidding you, and took a baseball bat and started hitting him with the baseball bat.
Oh, my God.
To wake him up, started hitting him with the baseball bat. He showed us the bruises.
Was he related to Sting?
No. Or Willie Nelson, for that matter. She hit him with baseball. She hit him several times with the baseball
bat. So we all know friends that take it too far with one thing or another.
What's his first time peeing in the bed, though? I mean, that's the thing. There's always some understanding the first time.
But when it comes to gambling, a lot of times I feel like, yeah, you know your friends that are degenerates, but is it so much of a problem that it's causing turmoil at home with the families? And I've only known of a couple where that's been the case.
Yeah.
But a lot of people keep it really hidden. And I heard Bill Simmons was on with Malcolm Gladwell, and they got into a gambling talk about what gambling is doing to the population in sports. And that's a whole other side topic. And obviously, we take money from gambling companies, from gaming companies. So we're not going to be hypocrites, and we're certainly not going to have that discussion right now.
Again,
but hold on. But Malcolm Gladwell asked me, he goes, Bill, you always talk about the gambling, but you never say how much you're gambling. You do this big song and dance about million-dollar picks. And Bill would not disclose. And it was uncomfortable. Like, Malcolm asked him eight different ways. Yeah, but how much do you really, like, how much would you put on one game?
Yeah.
Bill refused to answer the question. And I'm like, oh my God, I know Bill has a $200 million Spotify deal. So no money is too much money or is going to be him not to share the amount. It's got to be pretty freaking big.
Well, do you know why? Listen, I'm not going to sit there and act like I know Bill Simmons or anything like that. I would imagine the reason he won't share it is because it's as much to, he would get serious heat for losing these bets from the people. I think he sees what goes on with Charles Barkley. And I think that he would either A, get serious heat for losing those bets, or B, you know what? It takes you away from your audience. I think a lot of the guys that we talk to, like, I know some guys who have done, like, again, man, like, to me, it comes down to, like, personal responsibility. All right, try to have the personal responsibility to find help if you have a problem with it. And keep seeking guidance to finding help, because you're never just cured of anything. And I think it's the same thing. I think it's the same thing with booze. I think it's the same way with drugs. I think it's the same way with food. I think it's the same way with a lot of things. And I think it's the same thing with gambling. But you and I both know some guys who have been heavy gamblers. And not all to the point where it's just they spend themselves into destitution, like they're the guy like in Casino that can't put the heat on. There's guys who I know that have made that their lives.
Yeah.
And made it their life before gambling was legal here in the state of Ohio. Certainly some barbershop stories I could tell you. But I think for a lot of people, that's like $50 here,
right,
$20 there. You know, again,
and they have fun with it.
They have a lot of fun
with it, putting it in a bunch of different places.
And so when they talk about, I lost that bet, yeah, you lost $20, you lost $50. Maybe for a real big game, you lost $100. I think if Bill Simmons were to tell people that he was gambling $1,500 on a game, or
$10,000
on the Super Bowl,
doesn't it have to be more? Can't be $1,500.
Or it might be the other way, where he's like, yeah, I'm betting $20. I'm betting $5. Because I know guys right now, yeah. They get their phone out, and I mean, they're like,
yeah,
should I do this? And like, oh, how much is $4?
I know. I hear that all the time.
$4 here, and $2 there.
I'm always surprised that's any fun. I've only really, when I go to Vegas, is when I've gambled on games. Me and you are the one show in the country that we brag about how much we don't gamble.
Well, it's gotten to the point where people just don't believe us. They think that we get like, oh, yeah,
sure. Why would we care at our age about sports if we don't gamble? That's what I get a lot from my friends.
I do care. It's part of what people care about.
They don't believe that. They're like, how could you still, you have your families. Like, how could you care? And it's like, yeah, sports became a hobby, and following sports and trying to be right or wrong, trying to prove another guy's wrong, that became part of the hobby. But I like, 10 years ago, went to Vegas for March Madness. I'll never go again. You want, especially as a single guy, what a terrible week to go. People are like, that's the best week to go. It's the worst. There's no girls. It's all dudes. It's everywhere.
Well, if you were married and you had kids,
then
you
want to
get away.
Yeah, but if you're single, what a stupid week to go. We went, and, you know, I went above my means at that time. I was betting a handful of games, 150 here, 200 there. That was above my means. I think it was peer pressure because I had buddies that do this all the time, and they were gambling. I'm like, hell, you know what? I'm going to have fun. And Kenny, as those games were ending, I could not believe how joyful I was on the wins. And yes, the losses were kind of just funny, but I was winning here and there. And so when a game came down to a free throw here or a stupid layup at the end of the game, and you're on the positive side of that, I was going so nuts and drinking so much booze and whoever knows what else was in my system.
Yeah.
And then the highs of
Come on, Bodie Miller.
And then watching that in a, we just totally walked into something that an experience that was supposed to be like $500, and we just conned our way in. And so it's free food.
That's the Lima special.
And you see people for all that yay and all the boo on the other side of it, and guys kind of getting into it, but it's friendly, but eventually you have to walk away because you're like, that guy just won a lot of money and I lost a lot of money. And I had so much fun, and I thought to myself, how much more fun is Charles Barkley having than I am? Because Charles Barkley didn't have $200 on that game. The guy had $25,000 on that game. And so when you're hitting that, that's so much more fun than I just had.
I used to, I got to be careful. When I was in high school, in college, because it was illegal back then, I had buddies who did a lot of heavy gambling. And I would always feel good when I gave them, you know, I was like, no, you don't want to do this on Virginia. And let me tell you why you don't want to do this on Virginia. And like college football stuff, like ACC college football stuff. I helped my one buddy clean up 1 year. Because I watch college football way more than he would, and again, there was no bookies like that. Like there was no sports. I should say there's no sports book back then, so it was done in a lot of social clubs, things like that. And some of it would be the parlays, and some of it would just be, hey, like, can I call up Sal and can I make this deal? And I mean, I had a guy when I was a kid, he would have me call people next door and he'd move lines for people. All right. And the best thing he would love to do, he would love to do it where he would call up and kickoff was in like 4 minutes. It's 11:56. They're ending college game day. And I'd be working at the pizza shop and he'd call up and goes, all right, Miami's about to kick off. They're laying 18. I'll give you, and he would like, you know what? I'll let you, and I'll give you 21. I'll give you 20. Like, he would have tips, because he got tips on this stuff. And I'd be over there relaying it on the phone and stuff like that. People would be calling in trying to order pizza, and I'd be relaying it and stuff like that. Like, but I was a kid. So, but, you know, that guy, unfortunately, it's not unfortunate. I mean, Father Time took its toll.
Cement boots?
No, he's an elderly man, and he passed away. He's a good man, a fun man. And he made a lot of things fun, but, you know, a lot of things like that happen in barbershops, things like that. And I got to know the system of it really, really, really well. It never got me. The highs and lows, it never got me. I never wanted to. And there's usually, like, I told you the story about, like, when I was in my previous life and participating in businesses that I shouldn't have been participating in. Like, there was like a couple of come to Jesus moments. I've told the story on this podcast before. I'm like, you can't, you're going to end up in serious trouble. I never had that with that. It was just like, I'm not interested in it. I'm interested in obviously food, booze, girls, like that type of thing that a lot of guys are interested in. Yeah. Like that's, I mean, we all see the vices. So those were things that you're interested in. Gambling never, it never got me. It never did. And I'm always, I've always been the most entertaining people have been the good gamblers who can tell good stories. Like there are guys out there, they try to make this their business and they have to some level. They bore me to tears. They bore the hell out of me. But like you and I both know a guy, I'm not going to say his name, but he has a very strong social media presence. And I've said his name on the air before. He's made it fun since you and I were kids. We used to see him at night on the infomercials. And he still makes it fun, and he makes it interesting. Like, it's the old, before Jimmy the Greek said something terrible, it's like you felt like you knew a guy, and he was telling you inside stuff in an informative way, but also in an interesting way. And I think there's a lot of people who have tried to make that their business, and they really forgot that part of it. You have to entertain. And there's so many people I'm just like, nah, I'm not. I can look at these charts. I can read these guys on social media. Why do I need you? Mm. You're not telling me anything that's interesting. That's how I feel about it. That's all.
No, I'm with you.
No, I'm getting texts about the full experience. Oh, God, of course.
The full experience?
Yeah. So the college football playoff vote is tonight.
We have tonight. I've got a bunch of projections.
Oh, whoa.
Well, no, this is just paper CBS. In your
pants? Wow.
Yeah, well, I printed it out. You I just realized.
Research. Paper.
I realized my computer prints, so this is huge.
Oh, yeah, mine does too. I didn't know that until like a month ago.
I mean, what a game changer.
It's big.
Right now, projections, I'm seeing a lot of Tennessee versus Ohio State. The question is where that game would be at. There is a big case to be made for both. I did see a lot of arguing about this. Obviously, I'm following a lot of Ohio State people, so you're getting a bunch of that. But if you compare, Ohio State has the wins at number four, Penn State, and the win at home against Indiana.
Yeah.
Tennessee has the win over Alabama, number 13th ranked at the time, and Florida. But Florida's surged.
Florida finished up better. They were, 7-5 to finish the year.
And then they go over the losses. Strength of schedule, Ohio State's 26, Tennessee's 28. The SOR, strength of record, Ohio State is 6, Tennessee is 7. FPI, don't know what that is. It's 3 for Ohio State. ESPN, Football Power Index.
Yeah, thank you, Football Power Index.
And then Tennessee is number 7.
So you think Ohio State's going
to
be where?
Well, according to that, but again, what metric are you looking at? According to those metrics, it would appear that Ohio State might be favored by the tournament selection committee. I don't know.
Well, they're not going to drop out of the top four, but I just find it interesting because you have Oregon, Texas, SMU. You know, I kind of want to ask the SMU question that you did about Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Does anybody take SMU to be...
So it's all scheduling.
Any of those teams that are on there?
So I saw this, the Bear, Chris Felica.
Yeah.
He went over how the unbalanced schedule, and I think I talked about this 4 weeks ago, but the unbalanced schedule, he actually had the numbers and everything on how, you know, I hate to say it, Iowa State he had in there. He had SMU. He had Indiana, and he had Penn State. And he's like, all these teams, oh, and Texas. So all these teams are just benefiting from their different experiences in their conference than everybody else. They had disproportionately easier conference schedules than everybody else because you don't have 9 conference games in some of these conferences.
Well, you don't have Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12 anymore.
Right.
Right. Let's call it what it is. Now, I think that Iowa State could have given Oklahoma hell this year. They wouldn't have beaten Texas. So there is a difference between 8-4 and 10-2 as we're seeing right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I cut you off.
So it's just that, you know, Penn State's like a guarantee to get in the playoffs. And I'm listening to Todd McShay the other day on his podcast, and he's like, does anybody truly think Indiana, A, has a chance at a national championship? No. The one team that they've played that he had some basis for talent, statistical model, and a certain echelon of college football, and Ohio State's the only team they played, and they got manhandled.
Yeah.
So it's like you didn't have to really achieve that much to make this playoff. You just needed an easier schedule.
But
if you just had an easier schedule, that was more important to you making the playoff than almost any other factor.
Well, you probably also mentioned Indiana did have a schedule or did have an opponent, and I forget who it was they bought their way out of.
Yes.
And scheduled somebody else.
It wasn't
else.
Their fault. It wasn't really Indiana's fault.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I thought they bought their way out
of it. Okay, what I had seen, it wasn't, but maybe someone will correct us on that.
Tom Fornelli, who, God, he reminds me so much of Zach Jackson. He does. The mannerisms and things like that. Tom Fornelli has a great point about, I listen to him and Bud Elliott and Chip Patterson a lot. And Bud Elliott is amazing. Big fan. But Tom Fornelli brought up because the Purdue job is open. And he's like, whoever takes this job has to have a serious conversation about the scheduling. Because it's like, at North Carolina 1 year. I mean, these are losses. Like, North Carolina will be a better team, but there's others. I got to see their out-of-conference schedule because I'm not giving it justice. But you're no longer in the Big Ten West. You don't have that as a little bit of a buffer. The family has lots of buffers. And then you have these out-of-conference schedules where you have an opponent that is really there to sell tickets to draw people to come from their area. Well, you're probably going to lose those games. You're 1-11 this year. So instead of that, like Indiana, they got out of that game. And yeah, they could end up being – they invested a lot in their program. They brought in the kids from JMU. They brought in Rourke. Yeah. And yeah, they won 11 games. Now, I do think, though –
they had a great year.
I do think, though, that some programs are going to see this as a cheat code. I'm willing to bet that over the course of time, the quality of win – changes. And I think we're already seeing that. Like Cignetti won it 66-0 on Saturday.
Yeah.
And he came out and said it, why he had to do it.
Yeah.
James Franklin came out and said this is why. He got a little bit upset because of the cover zero and all the other stuff. And Mike Loxley went after him. But he's like, you got to come out and you got to score as many points as you can to show this. So it kind of did remind me of the old Tom Osborne thing. But at the same time, I do think that quality of opponent is going to matter more at some point.
They're going to have to tinker.
There will be a one-loss team in the future in one of these major conferences that they're going to go, okay, now with dynamic scheduling,
yeah.
There's no more conference. There's no more division. So it's like, hey, man, your schedule ain't that good, and then you beat Georgia State. Like, that's not – if your OOC is Georgia State, Troy, Gardner-Webb, you ain't getting in. You ain't getting in. I don't care. And I think it's going to be easier for the SEC to make that argument because it's the SEC than it will be for the Big Ten or ACC. Like, I see SMU and I go, okay, who'd you schedule? Who's there? Because you're an ACC team, you're in that championship game, but where are you going to be in the future? Now, I think SMU's there because who are they playing in the ACC championship game?
Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson. Okay.
So if they beat Clemson, well, then all of a sudden you're taken really seriously now because there is the cachet.
If Clemson beats them, are we getting rid of SMU? They go from three to not in it, and Clemson's in, and it's just ACC on ACC crime?
They're going to look at it and go, who are your quality wins? So I think that this is a moving target, and I think quality wins are going to matter more and more as time goes on. But also, brands matter. They, no matter what anybody says, everybody knows the SEC. If you watch any SEC football, you know branding matters. The whole, it matters more here and that whole thing. Well, I think you got a more of a moving target than you've ever had. Like, I love this season from Iowa State. I'm already worried about 2025 because I think that a lot of programs, depending on where your NIL situation is, I think you're a year away from 5-7. Fran Brown, I brought up Syracuse. You're 9-3 this year. Brent Axe is writing good pieces. I want to say it's Syracuse.com. Is that what I'm right at? He's writing good pieces like, hey, don't come out and say that Syracuse football is back when we're not really sure. We've heard this before. And you could see a place like that where, hey, if the Fossey gets turned off, are they just not willing to match what some of the other schools are willing to match? Like, yeah, man, you're all of a sudden going to have a bit of a problem there, and you're going to turn into 6-6 or a 5-7. So I think that we're going to have to move it from place to place. Like, would anybody be surprised if Arizona State turned in 7-5 next year? Would anybody be surprised if Iowa State turned in 7-5 next year? You know, it's such an up and down thing. And because of that, I think it takes away legitimacy. It takes away legitimacy of the conferences and the brands that they play in. Ohio State's always going to be at the tippy top. I think Oregon's always going to be committed to that. I think Penn State, to some level, is always going to be like underneath there.
Penn State's got it made. They're going to make the playoffs every year now.
But I think Michigan is there. I think that they have those brands. I think that there's certain teams in the SEC that have those brands. I think the ACC is in big trouble. I think the Big 12 is in big trouble because of those things. Now, location, I think the Big 12 is going to be helped at because of that. The ACC, like, let's not dance around this here. Like, this also has bigger issues than just college football playoffs. This has bigger issues when it comes to conference realignment. Like, the person who takes the UNC job, they have to think, what could happen here over the next couple of years with UNC and the ACC?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to be the guy that makes the transition from the ACC to the Big Ten or the SEC. Because as we're seeing at USC was not ready. USC, UCLA got better as the season went on. I'm a little bit more surprised with DeShaun Foster, but they were not ready. And I think there's a lot of ACC programs like, oh boy, like, yeah, you want to take the check, but you don't want to. If you have to accept taking the losses, you'll take the losses. You do not want to do that, though. You do not want to be one of those schools. You'll try to avoid it. And sorry, you can't all be Oregon. It's just not going to happen.
Meanwhile, quick proposition. If you're Ohio State and you're Ryan Day and you're getting booed at home all the time, would you rather be on the road in the playoff? Or if you're Ohio State, would you rather be at home, make a whole bunch of money having that home playoff game in the playoff, and then you have a buyout for Ryan Day?
Is that a walk-off, or am I answering that?
You can answer it.
You know, if you lose on the road, you have to get off the field where people are rushing the field.
Is anybody getting maced?